the first chapter of Joshua together. The king is dead. Long live the king. As a kid, I thought that was a nonsense statement. I mean, if the king's dead, how can he live long? I mean, dead people don't live. They're dead. What I finally realized was that a proclamation that once a leader is gone or died or simply left, the groups of people he was leading needed to have another stand up and lead them. And the leadership of people is important. A good, strong leader gives people encouragement that things will be okay, that life won't suddenly become disastrous. This is true whether the group of people is an empire, a nation, a business, or a church. The more invested people are in the group, the more important it is for the right leader to be chosen. So when a leader dies or steps down or leaves, there's a period of uncertainty. There's a period of angst. Are things going to be okay? Are we going to do well? Some groups are prepared for that. They have a succession plan in place. Others are not. But whatever it is still important for to find the right person. It's important to have a successor prepared. So long, the king is dead, long live the queen, was what was called out in 1952. And in, I don't actually remember too much about when it swapped over from the queen to the king recently. But I do know that it was big news, it was front page news, in all of the Commonwealth when the queen replaced her father. When King George had died and Elizabeth took place. And Elizabeth was trained to be her father's successor. Charles was trained to be his mother's successor, whether public opinion liked it or not. But it's all there. And here in Joshua, we have something similar. Moses is dead. Long live Joshua. Moses is gone. How will Israel cope? How will Israel survive? How will Israel live? Joshua is Moses' 2IC, or second in charge. And so the majority of the people will automatically look to him to lead them. But is that enough? Was it enough? Congregations have a responsibility and privilege to choose their leadership. Who should you choose? Who should you be looking for? Well, from this passage, we're reminded that you are to look for a man of God, equipped by God, appointed by God, and approved by God. You're to look for a man of God, equipped by God, appointed by God, and approved by God. This book, bearing the name of Joshua, is what some have called a bridging book. In other words, it connects the five books of Moses to the rest of the Old Testament. It makes a bridge between them. Moses has taken all up. He's the five books. He's the great lawgiver. It's the law. So when you're reading in the New Testament and they talk about the law, that's the part that they're talking about. Not the whole Old Testament. Those five books. And those five books are preeminent. So Joshua bridges that gap that goes from the law to the rest of the writings, to the rest of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the book of Acts does a similar thing between the Gospels and the letters. It bridges the gap. It fills in a whole lot of things that we don't know. And this is where Joshua fits in. the main character of the book of Joshua, other than God, is the guy called Joshua. And he's the man that God, whom God has chosen to lead God's people after Moses has died. And we first meet Joshua when, back in Numbers, when he was sent with the other 11 to go and spy out the land. And yet Joshua was one of the only two faithful spies who were allowed to re-enter the promised land. In fact, he's one of the two men allowed to enter from that entire generation. Even Moses didn't get to go in. The rest of the generation all died in the desert. They spent another 38 years wandering around, doing nothing in particular, just wandering around. We're not told a lot about what happened while they were wandering around in those 38 years. Most of what we have recorded is all done within 2 years. The rest of it is just another day, some more sand. So Joshua is chosen to lead God's people by God himself. It is God who commissions Joshua to be his soldier, to be his man. And this is important. It's not that Joshua put himself up. It's not that Joshua says, "Here, I'm the guy, take me." God himself chooses him. Joshua is to be the leader by God's appointment. And because he's a leader by God's appointment, he can rely upon God's help. He can rely upon God's assistance. God gives Joshua full assurance that he will help him. And you need to think of Joshua. Do you know how many people came out of Egypt? There's an estimation, there's around about 2 million of them. This is not just a little church. This is not just a little tribe. This is not, New Zealand was only two, in the 60s, New Zealand was only around 2 million, or something rather like that, or 50s. This is a whole mass of people. This is when they came up. This is 40 years after that now. We've got children who have been born. They didn't halt the population dead. The children grew. So we're looking at over 2 million people. And he's now got to lead them. And they're fractious. How many times has Moses had virtually tear his hair out? We even have a part there where God says, "Stand back, Moses, I'm going to wipe them all out and start again with you." Because they were fractious. They're not the type of people you really want to be volunteering to be leading, honestly. But then again, what humans are. So, he had followed Moses for 40 years. You'd think that'd be long enough. But you have to also remember that Moses was trained for 80 years before he got the job of leading them. So he's had 40 years and he's in charge. He'd seen the power of God work through Moses, and he's hoping that the power of God will work through him. Being a humble man, Joshua would have doubted his ability to lead the people. After all, it's not easy to follow in the footsteps of a great man, especially a man like Moses. For example, who knows who led France after Napoleon? Or who was the Prime Minister of England, of Britain after Churchill? Or who was the Labour leader after Michael Joseph Savage? I had to go back that far because I can't think of too many great leaders after that in New Zealand. But we don't remember them. And I thought I should have thought of the All Black captains, but some of them were better than others as well. But we don't remember those who come after that because the greatness of the one before overshadows. Their memory overshadows. And it happens in churches too. I've been in a church where somebody had a long service in the church, and then everybody was doubting this new young fella who was in his 40s and thinking that he was just a young whippersnapper, and how would he lead us like the last one went. So it would be natural for Joshua to feel nervous. It would be natural for him to have butterflies. I mean, Moses, he wasn't just the leader. He was God's prophet. Joshua hasn't been called to be a prophet. But Moses was the prophet. He was the prophet. He was also priest. Sure, Aaron, his brother, was the high priest. But if there's a higher priest than Aaron, it was Moses. He's the one who stood before God and pleaded with him to not destroy Israel. After Aaron had made the golden calf. And to all intents and purposes, Moses was the king of these 2 million odd people. He didn't have the title, but he certainly had the authority. And Joshua has to step into his shoes. Well, Moses was only a great man by God's grace. It was God who prepared and called Moses. And some could say Moses was a slow learner, took him 80 years to learn it. But he was called by God's grace. He was a great leader because of God placing his spirit upon him, of God's hand upon him. And so likewise, God is now preparing and calling Joshua. And in verse 5, God gives to Joshua a promise that must have warmed Joshua's heart and encouraged him for the task ahead. For God told Joshua that just as he had been with Moses, so he would also be with Joshua. He says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." I mean, what a promise. What assurance. Now, wouldn't it be great to have that kind of assurance? Wouldn't it be great to have God say to us, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I will be with you wherever you go, whatever you do." Well, if you trust in Jesus, you do have that assurance. You do have that promise. That's why we read from Romans. Romans 8 has got to be one of the all-time favorites of people. And why not? It is one of the all-time encouragement chapters. This is so. In Romans 8, verse 38 to 39, well, go in 37. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Now, if you think about it, can you think of anything that exists outside of that description? Can you think of anywhere that is outside of that description. It is written, beautifully written, to cover everything that you could possibly think of. I don't care if you're into quantum physics and if the Marvel heroes, Ant-Man and everything else is all right and you can shrink down and find a world somewhere else. That covers everywhere. There is nowhere that it doesn't cover, that it isn't covered. In other words, you cannot exist anywhere, even in your mind, where God is not present and where his love does not exist. And if you belong to Jesus, he has given that to you. Just like he is with Joshua, he is with you. Just like he is encouraging Joshua, he is encouraging you. You know, too often we see the Old Testament as being just a bunch of rules and regulations and things that are hard, and the God that's portrayed there as being vicious. In fact, many people will try to tell you that, oh, I don't like that Old Testament God. I like the New Testament. It's more loving. It's more kind. But here's God giving that promise to Joshua, and through Joshua to the rest of the people. You know, the leaders, Joshua may be set up as the leader, but it's only set up as the leader to bless the people that are following him, to bless the people that he's leading. It's the same with elders and ministers. They're not there to make themselves big or to make themselves important or to be thought of as something special. They're there to be a blessing to the people of God who are under their care. And that's what Joshua is there for. He's called out specially to lead, but not to make a great empire for himself. That's why we don't call the land of Joshua, we call it the land of Israel. Because it belongs to God. Joshua is called to be the leader, to lead the people into better places. Sure, it's going to take war, and it's going to take fighting, and it's going to take death. But Joshua is leading them to somewhere better. It's better than slavery. It's better than wandering around in the wilderness, in the desert, waiting for whatever that food is that comes. I know it's called manna in our Bibles, but manna means what is it? When they get into Israel and they start having the right crops, or the crops start coming in, manna disappears. Because they've been led into a better place. And Joshua is the guy God has chosen to do that leading, to do that taking them forward. Well, are you prepared to be a man or a woman of God, commissioned in the army of the Lord? If you're not, why are you at church? Well, you might be thinking, well, it's all right for Joshua, but I'm not called to lead a nation. I'm not called to lead the church. Couple of elders here, I know, but the rest of you aren't. You might say, oh, I'm not called to lead that way. What has it got to do with me? Well, you need to think that every single one of you, that if you belong to Jesus, then God has called for you to be a man or woman of God. The Holy Spirit has called you to be a man or woman of God. The Holy Spirit has sealed you to be a man or woman of God. Everyone here is called to be that. And even those who don't know Him are still called to it. It's why we go out and we talk about Jesus. It's why we go out and witness to people. Because we don't know who He has called. So we talk to everybody we can. We witness to everybody we can. And then, as you are called, He also equips you. So Joshua was called to lead the people, but he wasn't called. God didn't just simply say, oh, here, this is what my father used to do when we went to the marae. He'd get us to the door and say, oh, go in and say hello to everybody, and then he'd go off somewhere else and leave us to go and find, to meet with everybody and shake everybody's hand that had no idea who they were or whatever, ever, and stumble around. God didn't do that with Joshua. He didn't say, oh, well, now that you're a leader, you're on your own. Go and enjoy it, my boy, and have fun. No, he didn't. He equipped Joshua. He gave him an apprenticeship with Moses, for one thing. But he also spiritually equipped them. He said, I will be with you. And you and I, as Christians, as Christ ones, as men and women of God, we're in a better position than Joshua and his people were. Because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us permanently. It's not just coming in seasons. You know, the Old Testament would be much more thicker if we were to write down everything that happened every year. Essentially what we have is when the Holy Spirit comes upon people. That's what we have written for us. But for us, the Holy Spirit comes and doesn't leave. We are equipped to witness to Christ. We are equipped to live for Christ. We are equipped to be Christ ones. You all know that the term Christian was a swear word when it started. It was one of those words used to make God's people feel inferior. It was a word that people, it was a curse word. Oh, you Christians, you think you're so good. It's a curse word that the church took up and turned it into a badge of honor. We are Christ ones because He has called us. So how do we be equipped by God? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. What Joshua is told, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to also study His word. You know, verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We study His word, the Bible. And we obey His commands. Because you love Him. And we don't do it because we're afraid that God is going to whack us. That God is going to beat us. That God is going to terrorize us. It's not the God we worship. He's terrifying simply because he is so good, because he is so pure, because he is so holy. You may not be called to lead a nation, but every Christian has been given gifts by the Holy Spirit to help build the church and to help and to witness for Christ. So you need to be a man or woman of God for the spiritual health of the church. You've heard it said that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Well, a church is only as spiritual or as holy as its weakest person. As we build one another up, we strengthen the church. Not so that we can boast. In fact, anytime you feel like boasting, that's pretty much a good sign that you're not walking in the Spirit. Because the Spirit doesn't leave us to boast. You know, remember the fruits of the Spirit? Humility happens to be in one of them. You can't have boastfulness and humility at the same time. Boastful humility, that's... more than a contradiction in terms. So we all need one another. We need to encourage one another in our spirit, in our spiritual gifts, because each one encourages us and strengthens us. Joshua was given these gifts, and later on we can see a bit more. We'll see a bit more about what those gifts were. But the thing is that he was a man of God, called by God, equipped by God, appointed by God, and approved by God. And you may not be called to lead anybody in that sense of leadership, but they are still the same properties that belong to a Christian, to a Christ one, male or female. You are to be a person of God, equipped by God, appointed by God, and approved by God. The approval that we want to hear at the end of our lives is, "Come, my good and faithful servant." That's what we're living for, is for his approval, for the Father's approval. And that's what we hope to hear. And Joshua is a man who I believe probably did hear that. Sure, his path wasn't always on the side of righteousness. He made mistakes. But he was God's man, chosen, appointed, and approved, and equipped. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we give you thanks for your greatness. We give you thanks for your Spirit. It was upon Joshua and is upon us. Lord, we do thank you that you have called us to be your people. We thank you that you have equipped us. And we pray that you will help us to be approved, to be workmen who are approved by our God and our King. Father, we thank you. We pray that you would help us to become more like Christ as we obey your word and your commands. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.